Welcome to the Golf Central Podcast presented by TaylorMade and the all-new Sim Driver. The driver head was in need of a drastic change in order to provide more performance, so TaylorMade changed the shape altogether with their new Sim Driver, which allowed them to make it fast and forgiving where every golfer needs it, the downswing. The pros love the new shape, but the biggest reason TaylorMade changed the shape was to help make you into a better golfer. Check out TaylorMadeGolf.com for more information on the all-new Sim family. I'm Rex Hoggard. We're joined by Ryan Lavner for this week's podcast. And 2 weeks in, we've had two really good finishes, which we want to get to. Another dramatic Sunday at Hilton Head. Bigger storyline, through a week and a half, the PGA Tour was perfect when it came to testing for COVID-19. That all changed on Friday morning when Nick Watney became the first player to test positive. We talked about this. We speculated. Give me your reaction. We knew this was going to happen. Jordan Spieth said it best. This was a matter of when, not if. However, now that we've been able to see how this all plays out, how do you think the tour handled it?
Well, first of all, Rex, you've been on the road for 2 weeks. I hope you're symptom free, and you know that you've been practicing social distancing and wearing your mask and being as safe as possible. It's great to have you back home. Hopefully, you're doing all right. And as Jordan Spieth said, I wasn't totally surprised at all. Nick Watney was the first, and he certainly won't be the last. I think that's just the reality of the situation. Try as they might, and the PGA Tour did everything. They were as detailed and as exhaustive as humanly possible. We've talked about it in this podcast several times, 37 pages long. They couldn't have been more exhaustive in their preparation, and yet it is impossible to create a true bubble. It is impossible. The NBA is going through that very problem right now. It is impossible to keep everyone out. If you look at the situation, the two tournaments that you were in, they're testing roughly 400 of the, let's call it 1,200 or so, who are on site. That is not a true bubble. If you are not having players quarantined in one hotel, not allowing them to leave or go anywhere else, that is not a true bubble. So the best that the tour can do is mitigate the risk as much as possible. I thought they handled the situation on Friday as well as could be expected. What was your experience like on the ground reporting that story as it was happening in real time, the first positive test for COVID-19?
You're not in the flower office today. Does that mean that your wife's not having angry Zoom calls, or you got tired of the flower?
Well, the phone just rang downstairs and she just ran into a room. I'm not sure if she's going to be berating her coworkers in another room, but she is at least giving us the privacy for this podcast to talk about very important matters, such as the RBC Heritage.
So get back on topic. All right, I see what you did there. Yeah, you kind of stole my lead. It's not a bubble. And I'm as guilty as the next guy of referring to it over and over and over again as a bubble. Having been adjacent to the bubble for the first 2 weeks, it's more like a spaghetti strainer. And I don't mean that to be offensive at all to the PGA Tour, because you're right. It was 37 pages. That is as good as they can do, because we're a traveling circus. And look, the NBA has the luxury of being able to hold up at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, and locking their players away in hotel rooms and not getting on planes. Just think about the logistics of a PGA Tour event. You have 154 players who every day at 5 o'clock, when they were done working out, practicing, playing their rounds, went in 154 different directions. And I'll give you this anecdotally. And again, as guilty as the next person, I will completely own it. I stayed at a hotel last week in Hilton Head. Turns out it was one of the bubble hotels. Walked into, there was a bar on the roof. It was outdoors to get dinner, takeout one night. I was just taking it back down to my room. And there was a player sitting at the bar who waved me over. And when I walked up to him and we started having a conversation at a safe distance, it suddenly dawned on me, like, I'm not in the bubble. And I had to explain that to him. And he was shocked. And it's not as though
he was not also staying in the bubble. He's not supposed to be at the bar having a drink. That's if you read the guidelines, that's a no-no.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, outdoor bar, on the roof, at your own hotel, I can see why this happened.
Probably okay. However,
it's not me being adjacent to him violates that policy. It violated the rules. And look, both of us turned out fine, and he moved on to the next week and tested negative and everything was fine. But you get an idea in that one little snapshot of, I'm not accusing players, certainly not Nick Watney. He was not out running around Hilton Head bars last week, which was a zoo, by the way. It was a party last week in Hilton Head. You can tell people are done staying indoors. He didn't do that. He went to his house. He had a chef. He had his trainer there. None of these people were violating these policies. And it still happened at some point between Tuesday when he took that test and Friday morning when he showed up not feeling well. He came across something or someone who was infected, and it got him infected, and it triggered all of these protocols. I think, and I hate to say this, because Nick Watney is one of the games. I mean, I truly enjoy being around him.
He is a great dude, yeah.
He is a great dude. And I talked to his manager yesterday who said he is feeling better. He said, but he's having some guilt because he feels like he's the one that started this on the PGA Tour. He's not the one that started COVID-19. He just ended up in the wrong spot and caught it. And again, I feel terrible for him. However, if this does anything at all, it certainly opened the frat brothers' minds to the idea that, yes, this is not a safe situation. We need to take this seriously.
And I did find it interesting, Rex, that we didn't hear this at Colonial, but last week, and it sounds like the circumstances were different just in the surrounding area, but players like Justin Thomas and Carlos Ortiz and Matthew Fitzpatrick, they were all kind of expressing their displeasure with those in the area who were seeming to ignore those guidelines. And they said it was a party. You know, JT said, quote, "It is an absolute zoo around here." But I do think it is important to remember that shouldn't affect the players. These external factors of bars and restaurants being slammed with unbothered residents and who are kind of oblivious to a pandemic that is still wreaking havoc on our lives, that shouldn't affect the players at all. They're supposed to be at the course, getting takeout or room service or having their own personal chef with them, and then staying in their house. The outside factors of it being a zoo and people ignoring all these guidelines, that shouldn't affect them. But if they are going to venture outside that bubble, such as the player who was at the bar who waved you over and he was just kind of hanging on the roof, it's unlikely that he'd be transmitting the virus at that point, but he's still venturing outside the bubble. That is a personal choice, and that has potential ramifications. But I do think
I don't know that it was outside the bubble in his mind. And again, I'm not trying to defend him or I think everybody has the right intentions. Everyone wants to do the right thing. And I just use that as a perfect example of, in his mind, this is my hotel. This is the hotel they suggested. Surely this is in the bubble. This has to be safe. Oh, Rex Hoggard with Golf Channel, I know him. He's in the traveling circus. He has to be safe. Neither one of those things were true, but I can certainly understand why he thought so.
No, I get it. And it's just, it's impossible to have a true bubble. The tour is just doing the best it can to mitigate the risk. Nick Watney was the first. He's certainly not going to be the last. But I also did think, I think it should have served as a wake-up call for the PGA Tour players. I also think it could also be a learning experience for the PGA Tour. And I thought that this was potentially an opportunity to amend some of the policies in the wake of this positive test. We've talked about it for seemingly months now, how there is kind of that gray period from Wednesday to Saturday where players are not being tested. Yes, they're being temperature screened when they arrive at the golf course. They're filling out a questionnaire about what their whereabouts were over the past 24 hours. But as we know, and what we know about this virus is you can be asymptomatic and still be carrying the virus. I think that's one thing that this highlighted. And Nick Watney would not have known that he even had something potentially wrong if not for his whoop band, which, you know, tracked his respiratory rate, which was slightly elevated. That's what signaled to him to go seek out a medical professional and get tested. The second thing, Rex, is Nick Watney, when he was awaiting his test results, was allowed to go to the golf course. He was allowed to see Brooks Koepka in the parking lot. He was allowed to see Roy McIlroy on the putting green. He was allowed to see Siwoo Kim on the driving range. To me, that's a no-go. There's got to be some kind of waiting area or safe area where he can go await these test results for 2 to 4 hours. He can't be allowed to be on the golf course while awaiting those results and potentially interacting with players and spreading the virus. That's, you just can't do that.
Well, to address both those options. And the second thing, I mean, as we stand on our Zoom high call and sprout off all the things we feel like are wrong in golf and everything the tour needs to change, retrospect, hindsight, all these things. I mean, to be fair. However, I do want to point out that it was the whoop band that was part of the equation. However, he also had a fever and wasn't feeling well, because at first I think everyone thought, well, it was just his whoop band that sent him over there. That's not the case. And I don't know, to be honest with you, but I don't think I can walk into my doctor's office and say, my watch says I'm not breathing right. Please give me a COVID test. I don't think that's the way it works. Now, to your point about what he does afterwards, after hearing the argument both ways, that no, he should not have been in the parking lot. He should not have been on the putting green. He should not have been on the driving range. That being said, man, I don't know how you work this out. He still had a tee time. And if that test comes back negative,
that's the problem.
He still has to play. Now, I kind of lean in the direction that a lot of hardliners came out with last week, that if you have any symptoms and you have to take a test on Friday morning, the competition is suddenly secondary. And that's harsh, and we're still trying to have a competition. But I kind of agree with that, with the idea that as soon as he walked into that tent and told the doctor, look, I don't feel great, they gave him a test, he needed to sit there until he got the results back.
But if those results take 2 to 4 hours, as they've said, and he had a tee time, how do you hold that tee time? That's where you're going to run into some troubles. You can't make him WD just because he's not feeling well. He might have a stomach bug.
If that's the case, guys won't be honest. They'll show up, and if they're not feeling great, and that's the last thing you want. And so I don't know what the answer is. And to that point, I had a player talked to me as I was getting ready to do a central hit about this exact topic, walk out of a door that was no more than 20 feet from me. And he had on Saturday, and he had just taken the test to get on the charter. And he said, only half joking, I asked them, when are these results going to be back? He said, if they were going to come back within an hour or two, I probably would not have taken a test. Now, this was someone who was vaguely in contention. This was someone who was clearly looking at the leaderboard thinking, I have a chance to win. And do I want to walk in and take this test and have them tell me an hour from now, nope, you're done. You're locked down in Hilton Head for a week and you don't get to finish the tournament. I mean, these are problems.
That's a little concerning, yeah. Because players are going to be disincentivized to seek out a medical professional, which is exactly what you don't want to have happen. That's why I've been saying since day one, players need to be tested every single day of the tournament. That's the easiest way around it.
I don't know. I see where you're coming from on that one. However, the huge expense aside, whatever it costs, I think to be safe, I think we need to go down that alley. But when you address that, I'm not 100% sure that the test that Nick Watney took on Tuesday was taken in the manner that we don't know. He could have gotten it on the plane on Monday coming from Austin. He could have gotten it on Friday in Fort Worth. I don't know enough, and you start seeing all of these conversations about how long it takes to be symptomatic, how long it takes to actually test positive. I don't believe that he somehow contracted it Thursday night and Friday morning tested positive. I don't think that's the way it works. So suddenly, even though you're testing every single day, and I see that's a layer that would make you feel as safe as we could possibly be in this era, I don't even know if that's bulletproof.
No, yeah, I think that's the best case scenario. You're still going to have some people who fall through the cracks, but I do think testing every day would potentially weed out some of these issues. I did find it interesting in just reading some opinions of medical experts, and since you and I are golf writers, we are not medical experts, is that the 11 people who were contact traced and eventually tested, they all came back negative. Well, that was to be expected if they came in contact with Nick Watney 12 to 24 hours prior. The virus just does not appear in your system at that point. I think a better indication will be, what were they a week from Friday? You know, once you have 7 days in your system, at that point, are you still testing negative, which I think would be a very good sign. And you would know at that point that this was then an isolated issue.
Yeah, all 11 were secondary tested and all tested negative, just to point that out. But
yes,
they were all given second tests. And so to do it. All right, we played this game for the better part of 3 months now. It should just be a regular staple on the podcast. We should see if Ray can come up with some sort of funny imaging that we can play along to this. Because how many
imaging,
tests
this,
are too
this
many
is,
tests?
This is a podcast. You can't have imaging. You want sound effects?
I'm not very good at the lingo, but I think they call imaging even if it's sound imaging.
Just because we can see each other does not mean
I think it's not.
Our listeners cannot see us right now.
Well, I think you're getting caught. I think imaging can also be like a song or a jingle. Anyway, I'm not getting in this semantics conversation with you right now. Imaging
that'd be a sound.
Got it. I think it can also be imaging, but how many tests are too many tests? And you and I have had this conversation. You are on the low side of 10. I'm on the high side of 10. I'm going to change my opinion entirely and say, I don't know that there are too many tests for them to stop playing.
Really?
Boom. I saw the top of your head blow off when I said that. And I only say that because Nick Watney has proven to me the resolve that the PGA Tour has. And they had zero interest in even entertaining this question. Even after one positive test, I don't know. Again, that I'm going to take it to the extreme. If we have 100 out of 154 players that test positive, yes, that's an issue. You're going to have to shut it down. I don't see them getting to that because of the contact tracing and what they can do, number one. Number two, even if 10, as long as they feel comfortable that they've tracked all of these people down and you've gone through all the protocols, I don't know if there's too many. There's a number that you can qualify as, yep, that's too many.
But if 5 to 10 – so my thing has always been 5 to 10, probably closer to 5. Let's just say you do have 5 to 10 players who have to withdraw from a tournament. The contact tracing for 5 to 10 – you have to multiply that, and as we saw in Nick Watney's case, he happened to have 11 close contacts that they wanted to end up retesting. That is a Herculean effort. That would require FBI investigators to kind of go back and retrace all of these players' steps and all of the people they could have come in contact with. That'd be a Herculean effort to have to do that. So to me, you have to stop it at 5 to 10 just because you might not have the resources to identify the root of the problem. I mean, that takes time, that takes resources. And once you're pulling away from the competition with 5 to 10 guys, to me, something is lost, and you just have to push pause and say, you know, do we have an outbreak here, or can we trace it down? And Rex, that takes time. That takes time to do that.
I agree. But I saw a level of resolve with PGA Tour officials last week that was much deeper. There was not a concern, I guess. Like when I had the chance to ask Rory and to ask Jordan and to ask Brooks, what are your reactions to Nick Watney tested positive? They all had the same answer that, well, this was going to happen. As Rory so eloquently put it, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. Like, that has not changed. And for us to think that it's not going to happen, we're being naive. And I thought it was entertaining how many on social media immediately called for the tour to shut down after one.
That was never going to happen with one, ever.
And I don't know. Again, I don't see a number. Again, I'm not going to take that to the silly extremes and say if half the field goes down, they won't. But I just don't see 10, 15, 20 positive tests causing them to shut it down. I think once you get to a point where it's not a viable competition anymore, now that could be a conversation. But I just don't see it. We've spent enough time talking about testing, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it even more. We did have a finish on Sunday, and for the second consecutive week, I mean, it was a packed leaderboard. It was amazing, and I kept going back to the idea that for all those reasons that I thought guys were going to show up after 3 months and it was going to be rust and it was going to take them a little while to get going, I was completely wrong.
Oh, yeah. You were totally wrong on that, and I remember arguing with you about it because I said these guys – now, a lot of them had to put away the clubs for – 7-8 weeks, either because they didn't want to play because they knew that they didn't have an end goal in sight, or, you know, for the guys like Xander Schauffele, they couldn't go out and play. You know, the state was shut down, they were under lockdown, and they couldn't play. But the vast majority of them, they continued to play golf. They worked on their games. They worked out some kinks in their swing that perhaps they had going into that Players Week when the sport was shut down for 3.5 months. And I think in particular, they worked on their putting. That's something you can do solitary by yourself 2 to 3 hours a day and really improve. And I also think, you know, not just the guys working on their games uninhibited for 3.5 months, but also the fact that it's so hot out. You were out there at both Colonial and Harbortown. The greens are soft. You have to water them to keep them alive this time of year. When the greens are soft, the fairways are playing wider. These guys are absolutely going to tear it up. And that's what we've seen the last two weeks, and Webb Simpson was certainly the beneficiary of that on Sunday. Birdied 5 of his last 7 holes to win the RBC Heritage. But I mean, Abe Anser was right there. He missed 7 greens total at Harbortown. It's unfathomable, Rex. You missed 7 greens on the front 9 of your of one round. This guy missed 7 greens total at a golf course that has the smallest square footage of any on the PGA Tour schedule. To me, that was absolutely remarkable, but it's just a testament to show the quality of golf that we're seeing out of these guys now on the PGA Tour. It's been so entertaining to watch over these last couple of weeks, and I think we're in for a similar show this week at the Travelers.
And it's not like Tiny Anser has wedges into all those greens. I mean, I just don't think that he was not overpowering that golf course like we probably could have imagined a Brooks Koepka doing it, or DJ or Rory, someone along those lines. I mean, he was doing it with absolute ball striking around a golf course that you have to shape it in both directions. And Webb as well. I mean, it's funny when you look at, and I had this idea for a column that I simply haven't gotten to, but it's been sort of brewing in 2 weeks. And it kind of goes back to Rory's comments about art versus science. And clearly Bryson is science. And he's taken that. But you can look at now at so many players. And I look at Webb Simpson as the artist. Because you wouldn't look at the way he plays the game and think to yourself, yeah, like he's not spending a lot of time looking at TrackMan now.
I mean, it is an ugly painting, but I see what your point, that he's not doing it the way of the bashers.
Not everyone loves Monet. I mean, you do things differently. Yes, I see what you did there, but I don't know that we can sit here and look and say Rory is a beautiful painting, and I would also call him the artist, I guess, would be the extreme of that.
Yes, he is.
However, when you actually sit down, and to your point about, I was wrong that the guys came out hungry, and I think more so than anything, to your point that, yes, they probably worked a lot on their putting, I just think getting away from the game. I think putting the clubs in a garage for a month and a half, 2 months, like a lot of these guys did, it made them want to do it. Like, if you think about it, we never have an off season. You never have the opportunity just to turn your back on the game and spend time with your kids, spend time in the backyard, whatever the case may be. And I think it made all of them realize that I really love what I do. And they are willing now to go to the extremes. Now, I will throw this one out there because it's that, you know, that Tuesday quarterbacking we love to do. 7 PGA Tour wins, a major, a U.S. Open, a Players Championship, Hall of Fame, yes or no for Webb Simpson?
If his career ends right now? He's going to be a Hall of Famer, yeah.
I don't know what to say. No, we're going to sit here and have a fun conversation that he's going to win 10 more times. No, yes, based on what he's done right now.
Based on what he's done right now, no. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if he picks off a major this year. He's 34 years old. He's still got several years. He's actually added distance. I mean, you really have to tip your cap to Webb Simpson, Rex, because he's done it so differently from the rest of the guys in the top 10. You look at them, and I pointed this out on Twitter, and I got a little bit of heat for it. But most of the top 10 players in the world, yeah, imagine that. I got some heat on Twitter. Most of these guys are physical specimens who have really powerful swings. And you look at Webb Simpson, he has certainly he's kind of transformed himself in the gym, but he's not ripped by any stretch of the imagination. He doesn't swing particularly fast. His average club head speed is 112 miles an hour. You look at what Bryson's doing now, he's 125 plus, and he's not even unleashing the Kraken. You know, Webb's follow-throughs can be somewhat ungainly. His putting grip, you know, it looks ugly, but it's undoubtedly effective. He is so good across the board that he can make up for some of the deficiencies that he does have in terms of distance and what he's giving up to players. You know, if Webb's hitting a 7-iron, Rory's hitting a 9, and Webb is still doing it better than anyone on the PGA Tour this season. I give him so much credit for knowing his game and not wavering at all. He's had a remarkable career resurgence. Everyone thought he was toast after the
putting ban.
After the putting ban, and he is better than he's ever been. And I think it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's able to pick up not just one major, but even multiple majors. He's that solid across the board now.
And again, this is going out on a limb, but given what he has to work with, let's face it, he's not one of these physical specimens. He doesn't have the ability to do what a Rory or a DJ, certainly a Bryson, does. I would argue that he is better at his job than those guys are. And like, I know all of them work hard to perfect their craft, and I can appreciate that. However, if you made everyone play from his tee shot on the PGA Tour, I would be curious to see how many guys could actually contend. And you're right, he is hitting it farther, but he's not Bryson. He's not Rory. No, he's not DJ. He's not Brooks.
He's averaging 302 off the tee. He's still spotting. Now Bryson's overpowering everybody. He's still spotting Bryson on average about 25 yards off the tee.
Well, and it was interesting.
He's one of the elite iron players on tour. He's great around the greens, and he's an incredible putter.
Like following him the first round, really, I went and walked with him because Davis Love was in the group. And as you pointed out, whatever that means, releasing the Kraken. Yes, I know what a Kraken is. I don't know how, but everyone seems to love that. Good for Bryson for coming up with something that everyone could glom on to, not get caught up in the math. So good for him. Someone got in his ear on that one here. Make it fun. Make sure they can giggle at all everything you say here. Enjoy it. But when he did have an opportunity to release the Kraken, 50 yards further than Webb, 50 yards further than Davis Love, who is, granted, he's on the Champions Tour, he's AARP, he's in retirement, whatever the case may be.
But he was still one of the longest hitters of his day, and he's not, he's still not short.
And for him to find that extra gear is amazing. But now put it in perspective. So of those three guys, one of them missed a cut, Davis. Bryson sort of played his way out of the tournament on Saturday, and Webb won. Yeah. And if you were going to watch them like I did, I'm just randomly walking around on a Thursday morning, just seeing, you know, seeing golf, watching golf. If you'd have made me pick one of those three, I was not going to pick Webb to win that tournament. I might have picked Davis to win it before I picked Webb.
I mean, I think that's a testament to a guy who absolutely – has full confidence in his game and is one of the smartest players on the PGA Tour. And it also helps to have an absolutely red hot putter. The transformation that he's been able to do on the Doesn't greens hurt. Is nothing short of remarkable. So hats off to Webb Simpson, multiple time winner now on the PGA Tour this season. I think you have to put him as one of the top 5 to 10 favorites, certainly for every major this year.
All right, so we don't have imaging for this, Ray, but if we can work on it for the future. I also wanted to fall back on the cliches that our podcast and say, let's give grades through the first 2 weeks, and I'll start you out. Rory McIlroy.
Boy, C-. Is that too harsh?
Are you asking me or telling me?
I'm gonna tell you it's a C-. Back-to-back finishes outside the top 30. He hasn't done that in basically a year. The Sunday fade at Colonial kind of continued a trend that we've seen this year. And Harbortown, while it wasn't his, that's not a style of golf course that's ever going to fit his game. Long hitters have still been able to perform well there over the years. And as soft as it was, I expected better out of Rory. I'll give him a C- for these first two events.
I loved his comment on Sunday. He said he remembered why he hadn't been back to Hilton Head.
He ain't coming back.
Yeah, he's not coming back. Yeah, that won't be one of his ads, which is too bad, because you're right. I feel like C- is too low, because he has shown signs, and I think it's a matter of pulling them together. And more so than anyone in golf right now, I believe he can fix it quicker than anyone on the fly. There's nothing wrong.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. No. It's just two golf courses that kind of pinched him.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with actually B-. I'm going to turn that around. Dustin Johnson.
C? I think I'll stay with C. I mean, he missed the cut at Colonial. He didn't really contend at all. At Harbortown, kind of faded on the weekend. Brooks severely outplayed him on Sunday. This is just kind of more of what we've seen out of DJ this year. I thought he was such a no-brainer to have a huge bounce-back season this year, and yet he's fallen out of the top five in the world ranking now for the first time since 2016. He just turned 36 years old. The arrow kind of seems to be pointing down on DJ. He hasn't been good in a year and a half.
No, I agree. I think I'm going to go with C on that as well, although I would have never wanted you to be a professor of mine, because you seemed to grade on the lower end of the scale.
Very harsh.
Very, very harsh. But no, I would tend to agree. And this goes back to the TaylorMade relief match. I mean, he didn't do anything for Rory in that match. DJ played awful in that match. And I don't know that he's played much better. He finished tied for 17th. In Hilton Head. It's a golf course he knows. So I'm going to kind of dismiss that idea, as well as the miscut at Colonial. But I still need to see something approaching number one status in the world, which is what we expect out of DJ. So I think C is fair. All right, give me a Kraken man, Bryson DeChambeau.
Now, keep in mind, Bryson was playing well heading into the three-month shutdown, right? Like he had a couple top five finishes, and he was looking in good form. I give him an A-. For new bulked up Bryson, Colonial and Harbortown are not two courses that would seem to suit his new beefy game. And yet he was there until the very end in both of those tournaments. And now I'm excited to see what he can do at Travelers. I think Muirfield Village, is setting up to really be a place where he's won before, but he can really just hammer away on driver. With some reckless abandon. I look forward to seeing that show in person here in a couple weeks. So I give him an A-. Look, he's got five consecutive top 10 finishes now on the PGA Tour. He's up to number 11 in the world. Bryson, the arrow is pointing up big time. A-.
I'm going to go A, and simply because when you gain that much weight, you probably shouldn't be able to play golf the way he did. But I'm really going to give him an A, because these were clearly two golf courses, more so Harbortown than Colonial, but these were clearly two golf courses that do not fit his, whatever that style of play is, the Kraken style of play that he decides now. And but he was able to adjust. And so I will give him complete props and point out the fact that he putted like a dog in Hilton Head. If he puts even halfway decent, that he makes it even a better. Now, I will also say this, that when he hit it in the tree on Sunday, and we both kind of rolled our eyes when you mentioned Twitter and social media, the funniest lines I've heard in a long time was someone on Twitter who said, I wonder if he can just pick the tree up and throw it towards the green.
Just uproot the tree himself.
Just throw it and turn green and do the whole Hulk thing. Come make a ruling on that, Slugger White.
I wouldn't put it past him now.
All right, moving on. Brooks Koepka.
He's a curious one. I'm not sure how much weight we want to put into a Sunday finish, but I think I'm a believer that he's back. I'm giving him a B plus. He wasn't particularly solid at Colonial, but having the two front nine Eagles at Harbortown, and most importantly, he led the field in strokes gained off the tee. Brooks's game is predicated on power and being in the fairway and being able to take advantage of his short clubs. He filled it up with more than 350 feet worth of putts, led the field in strokes gained off the tee. To me, that is a sign that good things are coming for Brooks as we now head into a very important part of this condensed season.
I would agree with you. I would give him a B just because I don't get caught up in the nuance as much as you do in this particular situation. But I think when you look at where his game was before quarantine and what he was able to do, we talk about
disarray, total disarray.
He was lost. I mean, you don't take an emergency flight to Vegas to work with Butch Harmon on the eve of the Players Championship after missing the cut at Bay Hill without having some panic in your voice. Now, he would never admit that, but you don't get on that flight. You don't go searching like he went searching. And I also say I think he's healthy. The 3 months off gave him an opportunity. I mean, the knee injury last year, I think, lingered longer than he probably would want to admit. And I just think the idea that, let's be honest, last week was supposed to be U.S. Open week, and he is geared towards those major championships. I just think his biological clock finally kicked in. So I think a B. All right, last one on the list, and I like this one, so I kind of threw this in at the last minute. You probably didn't see it coming. Daniel Berger.
I mean, A++?
There you go. Wow. You are a good teacher.
I mean, what more do you need to see out of the guy? Did you want him to close out on Sunday? Are you disappointed he finished two shots back? You got to give him an A+. Boog is back, baby.
I think so. And it's amazing to think, and again, this is someone who's dealt with injury, but how quickly or how thoroughly, maybe is a better way of saying it, he had gotten written off by, I'm not going to say all of us, but certainly the media stopped paying attention when he stopped performing. That's what we do. We kind of go on to the next brightest thing, the shiny thing that's going to distract us. And I don't think many, on our side of the business realize what a talented player he was. I mean, he had two tour victories, both of them coming in Memphis. But I think when you look
in
at
June,
the larger,
June is Daniel Berger's time.
Boom. Yeah. So no, I think you're right. A++. I'll leave it at that one. Wait, I'll throw one more at the very end just for funs. Tiger Wood.
Incomplete.
Very much so incomplete. He did play golf last week at Frederica though.
With Charlie.
Father's Day.
He was just rubbing it in for tournament officials. He was an hour away. He was an hour away the entire time from a PGA Tour event, which like matched the record for the strongest regular season event on record. And Tiger's just playing some Father's Day golf with his son. Good for him. It's great to see his priorities are in order, and we look forward to seeing him what we all think will be at Memorial in a couple of weeks.
Put yourself in his shoes. When is he ever going to get a chance to play a round of golf with Charlie in any time
on
over
Father's
the next decade?
Day.
On Father's Day. When is he ever going to get a chance to do that?
Never again unless he retires.
No. Like, I came in on the side that, certainly I was disappointed, and the officials in Hilton Head were disappointed. But, like, once you saw the photo of him and Charlie playing golf at Frederica and hanging out at Sea Island and enjoying themselves,
pretty cool.
Good for him.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I don't know why you have to take the boat.
Yeah, just fly, man. Why do you got to tease guys for a week?
He didn't stay on the boat. He stayed at the Cloister.
So he was just getting some reps on for his yacht.
I mean, I guess I don't know how it works when you have a yacht. I don't know if you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know from experience.
Well, clearly you think that he should have sailed the yacht up to Travelers. So that's a
park
Hartford.
Park it there and then take a private plane. Easy solution.
That sounds like the way we should have pulled that off.
easy fix.
Before we get out of here, Travelers Championship this week, do you anticipate another Sunday like we've had the last 2 weeks?
Yes. The way that golf course is set up on the back nine, it's tailor-made for for theatrics. So absolutely. I expect it's a great field once again. It's a golf course where you can make a lot of birdies. The weather should be good. Greens will be soft. The guys are going to absolutely tear it up again.
I agree. And this is something closer to a bigger ballpark. So I will be fascinated to see how the Rorys and Bryce.
The Krakens.
I think the Kraken made the trip up.
He did. Yeah, the Kraken's there.
I know he's there, but did the Kraken make the trip up?
Oh, the Kraken's always there. It's just in hibernation.
Very good. All right. That'll do it for this Golf Central podcast presented by TaylorMade and the all-new Sim Driver. We'll see you next week.